Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If you are just waking up on your Wednesday morning, ouch, but we're here for you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We call it The Hump Show. After I gave Penny a small portion of my piece of bread with some peanut butter on it. I mean, she stared at me until I did. Do you know what she's doing again? I'll give you one guess. Snoring, of course. I mean, the dog is all about her treats, and when she gets them, she's back to living in the lap of luxury. Some intern she is, but I'm glad she's happy. It is warm. It's toasty in the After Hours super secret home base, and so I've got windows open, and earlier had a fan on in here, and I just don't want her to be too hot because she is wearing a really thick fur coat. Thanks for joining us. As always, good to have you on board for our middle show of the work week. I love your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Very often, I go back and answer the ones that I can get to quickly. So I just spent a couple of minutes during our commercial break answering some of your questions on Facebook. And I'll get to some of those that you've posted on Twitter as well. But thank you for caring. From my house to yours, thank you for caring. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Our phone number is 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. You can find me on Twitter, A Law Radio, Facebook page named after the show. Super duper easy. Tuesday, a banner day in the world of sports in this spring, unlike any other.
Let me assure you that the reason we are doing this is because our fans are telling us in overwhelming numbers that they want us to complete the season, if at all possible. And our players and our teams are clear that they want to play and bring the season to its rightful conclusion.
The voice of NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. Haven't heard a whole lot from Gary Bettman over the last 2.5 months. An appearance here or there on TSN. I think he's done a couple on some U.S. news networks. But very cryptic comments always. The most he would ever say is that we're looking at various ideas, but we want to play. And that's kind of been the idea. We want to play. We're going to play. We're going to figure this out. We're not considering canceling the rest of the 2019-20 campaign. And now the NHL has followed through. No, the regular season will not be completed. So there are 7 teams that are done for good. And I know there's disappointment for those fan bases, especially when you consider that there are teams that are currently not in the playoff picture who will have a chance to play in. It's a little gimmicky, but maybe it's about logistics, right? So they're still working out the locations. There will be 2 hub cities, and they've got 10 from which to choose. Right now, the logistics with Canada, only because of crossing the border and the 14-day quarantine that's required, that could be more difficult, so they may end up doing 2 U.S. cities. I suppose they could do 2 Canadian cities, but right now at this point, they've narrowed it down to 10. They don't yet have their locations, but they have the skeleton. They've got the format, and I like it. The more I talk about it, the more I like it. And it's not just because hockey is back. It's because it addresses the needs of the players as well, right? So we get the excitement right off the top, getting these play-in series, which will determine the Stanley Cup bracket. We've got round robins with the other teams, but it meets the needs of the athletes who've essentially been away from their sport even if they do, some of them have rinks where they can skate, which, you know, in the United States, there aren't very many of those. Maybe private places where they can go and they can skate, they can work out. The fact is, like every other professional athlete, they really haven't been able to do their craft. They haven't been able to work on their skills. They can work out, but they can't play the game that they're trained to play. And they certainly can't play it with any of their teammates because of the nature of this spring. And so to allow them to play a few games before they actually jump into the Stanley Cup bracket, I think is brilliant. And you can imagine this is necessary for these athletes to kind of get their sea legs back under them. So Gary Bettman and the NHL front office and the teams, they've agreed, the players too, the Players Association, a near unanimous vote to approve this format. It's gimmicky. And it's unprecedented, and I hope we never see anything like it. Smacks a little bit of a summer tournament for young school kids. But it doesn't matter, because we are going to see a Stanley Cup champion crowned eventually.
When the given go-ahead from the medical experts and the relevant government authorities is given, 24 of our 31 teams will resume play. The top 12 in each conference as ranked by percentage points from our standings as they stood through the games of March 11th, when we paused our season as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic.
24 teams, initially two sets broken up among those 24. You'll have the top four in each conference who will automatically be into the Stanley Cup playoff bracket. All right, so the goal is to get to that bracket that we're familiar with. The top four teams in the East, Boston, Washington, Philadelphia, Tampa Bay. The top four teams in the West, St. Louis, Colorado, Vegas, Dallas. That's based on percentage points. And no, I didn't do those in order. So East and West. And those eight teams will play in these round robin kind of tournaments. And they'll accumulate points. And that will determine their seeds once we get to the Stanley Cup postseason. But those eight teams are already in. Top four in both the East and the West. Now, they're expanding the rest of the it's not the playoffs. It's the pseudo regular season. I mean, it's not the regular season because it's not every team, but it's essentially the NHL's answer to losing the end of the regular season. And yes, they are allowing some teams to play their way into a Stanley Cup postseason that maybe wouldn't have been able to otherwise, right? So if everything was equal, nothing really is equal or equitable in the spring of 2020. But if everything was equal, some of these teams wouldn't be in the playoffs that likely will end up. But the other 16 teams, they will then have to jump into these five-game series. And they're seeded by conference, and they'll play a best of five to get into the postseason. So it's as I say, a little gimmicky, a little quirky, but it's a one-time thing, we hope. It's a novelty. And it not only creates the drama and generates excitement and gives us the entertainment that we've been missing right off the top from the second they drop the puck. We're in, baby. We're into it. You know, it kind of reminds me of the wild card games in Major League Baseball. People get so mad because you have these elimination games right off the top. But I like it because it sucks you in immediately. Right away, you've got the drama initially to start October. Well, here with the NHL, there'll be some excitement around the teams that are already in, but their round robin games will essentially be for seeding. It's not as nearly as dramatic as these other teams that actually have to play a five game series to get into the Stanley Cup playoff format. And so once they get through those eight series, so 16 teams, eight series, best of five, they'll slot them. They're not exactly sure how, if they're going to slot them based on original seed or if they're going to slot them based on how they do in these play-in series. So that gets a little convoluted, a little complicated, but eventually the winners of those eight series will move on to the Stanley Cup playoffs. And, they'll figure out how they seed them then. But we'll get a Stanley Cup champion, which is ultimately the goal. Eyes on the prize, baby. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, approved by a 29-2 vote from the Players Association. And as much as I appreciate that, and I'm impressed that they have a united front, immediately what jumped to my mind is the contrast with baseball. Now, maybe the NHL owners didn't ask them to take these major pay cuts. And it's a different situation because most of their regular season is behind them. They will get bonuses for playoff games. So I did see that as part of the proposal. But they didn't argue publicly about money. With so many Americans and Canadians as well who are out of work, they didn't engage in this public war over money. Leaks here, leaks there. No, they got this done quietly. And yet, you know, they were working nonstop over the last 2.5 months behind the scenes. I'm impressed with that, that it's a united front. Though, you know, that there were certainly back and forths. There had to be priorities for the Players Association that they had to present to the owners and vice versa. But it's efficient. It's organized. It's smart, and it's the first we're seeing of it. So it makes the NHL look brilliant. And as we talk about the first component, hockey is first to come back with a plan for returning in what will probably be the summertime. It looks as though they want a 21-day training camp of sorts, and they do have to get a lot of their players back from overseas. So the estimates right now are that 17% of the NHL players are no longer in North America. And you know, there's a huge European contingent for the National Hockey League. So those players will have to get back. And once they determine the hub cities, they're of course going to have practice facilities, arenas, hotels, you know, everything that they want and need within this one kind of bubble area. Now, we don't know if they'll have to stay in that area, if they'll be allowed to leave, if there will be travel, or depending on how close the two hub cities are. I'm not sure how they're going to do it. Because if you think about it, with two hub cities, let's say that you would break it up by the round robins versus the play-in series, you're talking about a lot more action and a lot more games among those 16 teams that are jumping into series. And so potentially there could be travel from one hub to the other so that they could even out the number of games being played at each site, if that makes sense. So there's still different details that we don't know yet. And we also don't know dates. They haven't yet settled on firm dates for when all of this will start.
We are currently in phase one of our pause, during which clubs have been instructed to self-isolate as much as possible and have done so. In early June, we expect to be able to enter phase two, during which clubs can return to their individual practice facilities for voluntary small group on and off ice training.
And that's similar to where we are with the NBA. Now, not all the facilities are open, but players are allowed to go and work out, even if it's not their own market. They're allowed to go work out, sign up for individual workout times, only one guy to a basket. They can use the facilities, and then they have to clear out, and other people can get in there. But I saw this earlier on Twitter on Tuesday. Most of the facilities around the country in the NBA have been reopened. The only 8 teams that have not reopened their facilities now are the Celtics, the Knicks, which interestingly enough are in New York, though in Manhattan, where it was a hotspot for the virus for so long, the Bulls, the Pistons, the Wizards, the Mavericks, the Spurs, the Warriors. Now, in Texas, the facilities are allowed to reopen in many places, and yet Mark Cuban has said he's not going to reopen his facilities. The Warriors are not going back. I mean, they're in the Bay Area, but they're not going back, more than likely. We don't know yet if the NBA is going to finish its regular season, but you've got guys like Damian Lillard who are saying, if the Blazers don't have the chance to make the playoffs, then I'm not going back. If it's not true opportunity to actually make the postseason, if we don't have a legitimate shot, then there's no point in me playing. And what he told Yahoo Sports yesterday is that if all the NBA plans to do is just throw on a few games to finish up the regular season, and they're meaningless, and they're not actually giving us a chance to improve our standing and get into the postseason, then I'm not going to go back and play. He says, I'll hang out with my team because I'm part of the team, but I'm not going to participate. And you could understand why that's important. I mean, A, it's such a letdown if you're not allowed to finish out your season with something on the line. But also, if you're throwing your physical body out there, there's a chance for an injury for a few meaningless games that you know, you're going to try to get ready for, and then you're going to, you know, you're going to jump right into it and then shut down again. What's the point of it? And so the NHL has opted to cancel the rest of the regular season. They had fewer games than the NBA still has remaining on its schedule, but they are giving more teams a chance than would typically be part of the postseason. And so we'll see what the NBA model looks like, but something that is synonymous between hoops and hockey is that they all want to play. They do want to play. Lillard's not saying, I don't want to play. He's saying, I'm not going to play in meaningless games. These guys want to play. To a man in the NBA, they want to get back and finish their season. Now in the NHL, we know from the Players Association vote that was nearly unanimous, they want to get back and play. Even if it's not perfect, it's not, you know, it's not an equal footing for everyone. We want to get back and finish the season and crown the champion. So I like it. I like that it's been approved and we get a united front. We're still waiting on the cities and the dates and how they'll get everybody back in the U.S. and Canada. There's logistics that they have to work out, the health and safety protocols. That's all really important. But they have time because here we are approaching the beginning of June. And the training camps themselves, which would be about 3 weeks, the training camps will not start any earlier than July 1st. So they got a month to work out the logistics. But the hard part is done. The hard part, coming up with the framework that everybody can agree on, that's done. Clearly, it's the hard part because Major League Baseball can't even get past that phase. They're not even to the point where they got a proposal that they can start to implement. Gah. We'll give you the latest with baseball, but it's getting uglier by the day. And also, part of my conversation with veteran NASCAR driver Kurt Busch, he was so candid and thoughtful in his responses when I spoke to him, gave us 20 minutes and answered every question, pulling back the curtain of what it's like to be a major sport returning this spring with no fans. I do believe he used the phrase deathly silent. So you hear a part of that conversation with Kurt as they're in Charlotte getting ready to race again on Wednesday night. Thanks for joining us. Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Ball to left field. Hence is going back to the wall. He jumps, can't get it. It's a home run. Two-run shot for Cody Bellinger. His first of the year. And the Dodgers now lead 5-0.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Charlie Steiner on the Dodgers Radio Network. Reigning NL MVP, Cody Bellinger. Gosh, I miss baseball. But the longer they argue over money publicly, honestly, if you want to argue or debate over it privately, so I don't have to hear about it, so we don't have to be privy to all the gory details, fine, do that. I get it. It's not easy to take a pay cut. I asked this a couple of weeks ago when the topic was the same, when players were coming out publicly and saying we're not taking less money than what we've agreed to, what we're entitled to. Who wants to take a pay cut? Raise your hand. Exactly. No one does. I didn't. Nobody does. You know what else no one wants? To be without a job. I mean, taking a pay cut, let's be honest. When held up against the other alternative, which is losing your job altogether, taking that pay cut doesn't seem nearly so bad. And I feel like baseball needs that perspective. No, nobody wants to take a pay cut. But the way that baseball has offered this salary structure now, the more extensive pay cuts would take place at the higher echelons of the salary structure, where guys are making hundreds of millions of dollars. Those guys can't afford it. They may not like it, but they can afford it. And there are some guys out there who don't even make $1 million. Okay, I know that sounds odd, but my point is not every baseball player is a millionaire. Those guys would be asked to take less of a pay cut. It's almost the exact same thing that my company asked all of us. Based on your salary, you either take no pay cut if you're at the bottom of the food chain, quote unquote, or you take a much greater pay cut. In some cases, 15 to 20%, depending upon your average annual salary. It's temporary. It's not forever. But far worse, baseball, to not play at all and make nothing. How about that? You could make zero. Or you could figure it out and you could come back and you could fill a void where Americans are desperate to see live sports and might even at this point forgive your ridiculous squabbling. You could come back and you can play and you could make some money. Because some money is still better than dying on a hill with no money. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's interesting to feel the tide turn. And I'm hearing from you as fans. I'm hearing daily on Twitter and Facebook how disgusted you are, how frustrating it is. Now, take everything with a grain of salt. Baseball has leaked a couple of different things. Baseball owners, and when I say baseball, I mean baseball owners who make up the league. They're throwing different reports out there, leaking different phases of the negotiations, even before the players have seen these proposals, because baseball owners want to get the public sentiment on their side. So be careful what you believe. That whole 50-50 salary split, according to the players, it was never actually proposed to them. So it got out there as a leak from the baseball side, but it was never actually a proposal on the table. So instead now, the idea is pay cuts in tiers based on what you make. I mean, isn't that something we've heard, whether it works or it doesn't? Isn't that something we generally hear about taxes in the United States of America? This proposal to levy far greater taxes on those who have more money, those who are the highest echelons of the country in terms of salaries. So it's not like they're reinventing the wheel. And yet still, the players union ticked off because they don't want any cut in salaries. Back and forth they go around and around this mountain. And until they figure it out, they stand to lose a lot more than they could gain. But until they figure it out, waging this battle publicly is the worst case scenario. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. What do you think about the NHL's return to play plan? And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Now, coming up after the break, a part of my conversation with veteran NASCAR driver Kurt Busch, who appreciates the fact that he's got a lot of years and a lot of miles under his belt in this really unprecedented two-week stretch where the guys can't get any practice before they hop into the car and go tearing off down the track. And very thoughtful responses about what it's like to race without fans, too. So it may not be as noticeable on TV once the engines start, but when you're in, you know, you're in there at the arena with no fans, it's something that he says is taking some getting used to. So that's coming up. The NBA is in a situation now where they can see what the NHL has done, where they can kind of look over some of their own ideas and concepts and figure out what works and what doesn't. Are they going to scrap the end of the regular season like what the NHL has done, though still giving some teams a chance to play in? And I think getting games under their belts before they get to the Stanley Cup playoff bracket is really smart. So there's a lot of different ideas and concepts that no doubt they've generated on their own and now can choose from. But I'm proud of hockey. I'm proud of Gary Bettman and his staff. I'm proud of the teams for pushing this through, proud of the players. Even though they don't have all of their questions answered, they're still waiting on the safety and testing protocols. Their priority, clearly, it's now communicated to us in a very strong, loud way. Our priority is to get back on the ice, period. End of sentence. We'll figure it out. But what we most want to do is get back out there and play again. And I think that's the message that you can take from what we saw from the NHL on Tuesday. Andrew Bogish is with us from his super secret home base, where he's getting ready to do his updates for the morning. Andrew, what do you think of the NHL plan to return?
I like it. And I've always thought, Amy, this is the way that hockey and basketball should come back, is just some form of playoffs, whether it involved everybody or a smaller number of them, to come back tournament style. I also understand why the NBA wants to play regular season games, because there's TV contract money involved, but I like it. I think it's fair. I don't necessarily feel bad for the teams left out of the NHL plan. I mean, it's weird that their season is just over while the rest of the league goes on.
Right.
But I think 24 teams, 12 on each side, is a good measure. I like the little added wrinkle of letting those top four teams play a couple of games early on. And then it should be really, really fun. The logistics of playing all in one rink in one city is times two is a little confusing to me. But otherwise, I like it, and it should be really entertaining.
Yeah, and just the contrast with baseball. Yeah, it's confusing, and they haven't worked out the details yet, and the logistics are incredible. I'm not sure if you heard this, but roughly 17% of the NHL is not even on the continent. So they have to bring all these players back from presumably Europe more than anything. And they've got quarantines, and they've got all this crap they have to – sorry, not crap. All these different protocols and, you know, and like hoops they have to jump through. And yet the most important thing is we now know there will be hockey.
And I will say this, without comparing it to any other sport, I love hockey, and I'm proud of hockey, which is a weird thing to say, but you know, this is a string, and this is the most significant one, where the league has shown off a lot of common ground, working together. They've been creative. I mean, there's a couple, you know, even going back as far as reformatting the All-Star game. They were the first one to do that kind of fantasy draft amongst the players, and then football tried it, basketball tried it. Hockey very quietly has had a really good string of time here where they've had labor peace, they've been creative, they've been innovative, they haven't shot themselves in the foot, and as a hockey lover, I like that they continue to not mess things up right now.
I agree. Gary Bettman, as much as people like to stomp on him, he is begrudgingly getting the credit from all parts of the sports world right now. Awesome. Okay, part of my conversation with Kurt Busch is coming up next as he takes us behind the curtain. Sports with no fans and empty stands.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It really, for me, kind of put everything into perspective. And you know, I think as you know, a driver being in the car and all those emotions and everything that go with that, to get out of the car to pure silence was really a moment that, you know, for me, help me put it into how big of an event it was without the fans there.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of NASCAR driver Kevin Harvick on NBC Sports, doing an interview in the wake of what's been this unprecedented week and a half for auto racing. At the cup level, they've already had three races, two at Darlington, one at Charlotte, another one coming up on Wednesday evening. And even if you can't hear it on TV, once the engines are roaring, sure, it would drown out some of the crowd noise. When those engines are off, it is eerie at the racetrack. And that's something that other sports are no doubt watching and are kind of taking it in. But as you can imagine, being in the arena and hearing that silence, it's also strange for these drivers and will be for athletes moving forward this spring. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. Lots of you responding with the NHL's plan. They got a plan. And also the failure of baseball to agree to a plan yet. 855-212-4227. I had a chance to catch up with veteran driver Kurt Busch in a moment where he was able to be reflective and candid and thoughtful in amongst all the craziness that's going on with NASCAR 7 events in 11 days. And I wanted to bring back part of that conversation as an athlete who is now going through something that is strange for him and strange for us. So I started out by asking him what this return experience has been like for him personally.
Well, it's great to be back in action and to be racing and to, you know, feel those competitive juices and the teamwork and all that that's going on. But in all honesty, it's a privilege to be out there right now. I mean, there's a lot of people in the world with a lot of unknown and don't have a job. And for me, it's really a spot for NASCAR to shine and to reflect and to be out there up front, being that beacon of light for other sports to try to follow. There's a good bit of responsibility with everything going on. So really happy that we're at track and we've got three races under our belt now and a nice process that everybody's following to keep the protocol in check.
What is the responsibility of NASCAR? You mentioned that you know, the sports world is watching. So what do you feel like the responsibility of your sport is right now?
Well, it's to come off with no problems and to create a set of what you would call guidelines, so to speak, on how to keep everybody safe as far as how we travel, how we egress into the track and departures as well. And then the different departments, you know, like the pit crew guys, not coming in contact with any of them. Our engineering staff is staying home, doing everything remotely. We have our mechanics that are working on the cars that work in different shifts at the race shop. And so it would be just like having your offense and your defense and your special teams and everybody somewhat in different areas, but still collaborating together as a team. But then you have the sponsors, the TV broadcast partners, the sanctioning body, everybody that has to go through the testing procedures and the protocols. It's a heavy effort, but we're all doing it together and trying to, you know, carry our sport out to the front and making a good headway to show that other sports can follow it.
Kurt, you mentioned having the privilege of being able to race and be out there when so many other sports are still shuttered and are not back, and a lot of people don't have jobs. But what's the biggest challenge now, carrying that responsibility? Yes, but the biggest challenge in terms of, you know, trying to be successful and carry on as a sport when everything is so different.
You know, there's the different emotions that go through it. And then there's the frustrations of not having a normal sequence. And that's where you just have to take a step back and go, you know, we're going to have our fans back eventually. And we hope that, you know, it starts at a limited capacity. And then we have, you know, different hospitality areas that might open for some of the VIPs and the sponsors. And, you know, just like this past weekend, Memorial Day weekend, you know, the infield is empty and there's not our fans there grilling out and having their barbecues going and, you know, playing horseshoes or cornhole and just having that family atmosphere. That's a huge, you know, disappointment that we don't have at the track for our fans. And so it's just going to take those steps to get everybody back in sync and in sequence. And we're going to start to travel to a little bit further away racetracks soon. And that's going to come with some responsibility and some hurdles that we're all going to have to jump over as well.
When I'm watching on TV, it seems eerie before the engine starts because it's so quiet, especially at a big speedway. When do you notice the silence the most?
Oh, shoot. It's just pulling into the racetrack day of, and there's no traffic. But yet we're sitting in a line, you know, for different screenings as far as, you know, where we're going to enter the track and where we can go once we get there. And yes, it's definitely quiet. And until we start the engines up, that's the difference. And then once the race is over, it hits you back again of there's the reality in front of you that we're missing our race fans, but we just performed in front of millions that have tuned in for some people the first time ever,
right,
to watch an NASCAR race. And so we're hitting so many different new markets and people in the right way. And I hope that creates that draw and that intrigue for when our grandstands open back up, where people have seen it for the first time. Now they got to come and feel it at track.
Kurt Busch is a NASCAR Cup Series driver. Top 10 finish at Charlotte, the Coca-Cola 600 on Sunday. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I want to talk about Charlotte because you had the poll, but if you don't mind, for people who are, as you say, kind of checking the sport out for the first time, what is that procedure like when you get to the track? So you're in a line, you have a certain check-in time, but when you get into your garage or when you get into the area where you're working on the cars, what's that like?
Well, for right now, the quarantine and the self-isolation process for us at the track is the drivers can only go to their motorhome, to their specific, what you'd call locker room, and I'm away from all of my crew.
Oh, wow.
And so I have all of my driver gear, my safety equipment, my PPE equipment, and then I even do my own water bottles right now and bring out Yeah. I mean, I've got every job going on right now with like old school, getting your gear ready, washing things after the races, changing the visors, filling up the water bottles, you name it. And it's then a check-in via team viewer. And then we head out to the race cars. Literally 10 minutes before they fire up the engine is when they want us at the car and we come in minimum contact with people.
Mm. You mentioned your gear. I happen to see on your Twitter, did you wear the wrong suit for qualifying?
I did. I was on a Zoom call double checking with the actual live qualifying on what information we were downloading. And I'm like, oh my God, I need to get out to the car. I only have 15 minutes. And I grabbed a suit right off the hanger that looked like the right suit, but it was last year's. And so it was a fun mistake. Had to make fun of myself because we actually now have a pole position with the wrong suit on.
Right. So you get out there, and for Darlington, there was no practice. There was no qualifying. At least for Charlotte, you get to qualify. But what about this experience of jumping in the car, firing it up, and just, as you say, letting it rip when you're out there for one lap?
I'm glad I have 20 years of experience to bounce ideas off my own self. I mean, there's a lot of self-questioning going on with people's minds right now. And so I knew that I've done it before, and you rely on your team to gather the right data and for them to build a great car and to have the setup as good as it was. I mean, that's what you can only wish for, and we had that. We had a chance to win the pole, and we did it. And it takes that good teamwork to get it done from Chip Ganassi Racing.
So you then grab the pole and lead the first 50 plus laps, and there's a rain delay. What I know you managed to get back into the top 10, but what changed after that hour plus?
As far as the race itself, the complexion changed with temperature. It was much cooler out after the rain delay. The track was beginning to then take rubber from all the tires, and our setup lacked a few different categories. And so, yeah, we fell back a little bit. The pit stops weren't as sharp as they needed to be. I got bottled up a few times trying to make some moves out on the track. And then late in the race, we were able to stabilize the setup, made some better moves on restarts, and we clawed our way back in to finish seventh. And so it was a good comeback. But, again, we just have to fine-tune some of the other areas to be able to be in contention to win more often.
Veteran driver Kurt Busch in the midst of this strange run, 4 cup races in the span of 11 days, and they will they'll finish up with the race at Charlotte on Wednesday night. The second part of my conversation with him also really fascinating and funny because we went into the whole iRacing phenomenon, and he said he hadn't done any of the iRacing and hired an IT guy to help him get acclimated and to really use this as a time to practice because it became such a big deal in the place of NASCAR races. So if you want to check out that conversation, the whole thing, part of the podcast, After Hours, amylawrence.com. The link is always posted weekday mornings, fresh and available for you right after the show. And you can check it out on either Twitter or Facebook, or as I say, go directly to our website. There are always ways that you can get creative when it comes to your entertainment, your viewing, and a lot of your binge watching. I actually started binge watching this show that I don't even know if I think it's coming back for a season 2. And it's kind of quirky and funny, but it's called Blood and Treasure. But I just needed something to take my mind off of everything that was going on in the last week. Well, there are sports opportunities as well. And coming up Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, you can relive Kimbo Slice's final victory. Another fantastic finishes with Bellator MMA Recharge. That's on CBS Sports Network if you're looking for some more of your classic sports. What do you think of the NHL's plan to return? Some of you are on board. In fact, most of you are on board. Some of you are not. Terry sends me this tweet. I'm a huge hockey fan. I think this plan is stupid. It messes up two seasons. 2021 may not start until late December or January. I'm forced to change my plans for Red Wings training camp. Hashtag condensed season. Maybe you are, and I'm sorry for the inconvenience, but honestly, in the year 2020, is anything convenient or fair, quote unquote? Yeah, I mean, everything's been thrown into flux, but I would rather have some hockey than no hockey. Dean on Twitter, I like the NHL playoff format with the 24 teams. He says, I heard a caller bring up how the Rangers shouldn't be in it, but they were 2 points out with 12 games left before the stoppage. So to me, they had a shot at the playoffs. Yeah, I think it's cool that it includes a bunch of teams that, you know, have a shot now with the 5-game series to get into the Stanley Cup playoff bracket. And I also think it's important that they have some games under their belt before they get into the actual postseason. So to me, it addresses multiple concerns, and the drama, the excitement will be there right off the top. But don't be looking for it before the end of July, because they won't be back to training camps before July 1st. But bravo, Gary Bettman. Bravo, hockey, for coming up with a plan that's organized and smart and efficient. We'll see what other suits follow sport. We're back with you tonight after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.